NBA Australia. How are you going? I hope you're going all right. I hope you're going better than me. Geez, what's happened now, Jim? This is NBA Australia. It's Thursday, March 14, all day. And I'm James Clements. I'm your host. I'm also the host of the official AFL Supercoach show, the AFL Today show, all the good stuff here back in Larry Armour Studios. Why is that? I thought I was meant to be in the studio today, but nah, I've hurt my foot again. So we're here hanging out, talking the NBA Finals replay, the DeMar DeRozan, their amazing Bulls win. The Kings' dominance of the Lakers continues. And a bit of an early exit for Luka Doncic. That'll be interesting. So we'll get stuck right into all that with the game wraps. We've got That's Not an iPhone, Mate, No Mate, Spot of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball. Got some Yanazi, Unpopular Opinion of the Day, and Outback Takeouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. We've got Andrew Gay's Great Mum Reward and a pick and preview for all the games tomorrow. And we'll start off as well with a bit of a quick whip through the idea of last night's NBL game that I was at. So that was fun. All right, without further ado, let's get into it. Episode 1053, question mark, of NBA Australia. That sounds right. Let's go!
G'day, this is Andrew Gates, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better. Especially if you're, Rudy Gobert? Enjoyed that.
You're not doing no shit against Joker. He's 7'6", of course. If you lay it up, he's going to block it. But defense, to me, is guard that guy and shut him down. You want to impress me? Hold Joker under 15 points. It's not going to work against guys like me and Joker.
Jesus. I don't know, Shaq. I think we've got a bit of proof that Rudy Gobert is actually pretty good at defense. You know?
Just shame.
Other little bits of news. We'll get into it in the daily. I believe it's called some sort of whip around. We had a cracking day of basketball. However, your mate Jim was laid up on the couch because he's feels like the bone spur that I had in my left foot. I've now got one in my right ankle, it sort of seems. So it's wildly painful, and that's not great. But I did go to the NBL game last night in Melbourne, Illawarra, and it was absolutely raucous. Ran into a couple of Canadian dudes on the tram who were going to it as well last night. I was there with my buddy Tim. We did a bit of shit-talking on the tram. They were just, like, flabbergasted that the NBL was so big and good and scrappy and fun and that it had Deli. And I'm like, I believe his full name is actually King Deli of Maribor, a smasher of tins, decker of beals, and stopper of curries. And you'd better bloody remember that, Canadia. But they were from Toronto, eh? So we had lots of fun talking Raptors and gear with them on the tram. But the game itself was pretty fun, pretty chaotic. Got a quick, you know, chance to chat to old mucker, our mate Chris Anstey. He had like a Legends box behind him as well that had like Brett Rainbow and Marcus Timmons and stuff, and it was awesome. We were sort of sitting there going, right, can you name the legends? Just hanging out to the point where I just had to like message Chris and just be like, right, who is it? Who's in that legends box? And he sends back all the names like, yep, nailed most of them. But it was really fun. And like that Melbourne crowd absolutely brought it for like a weird goddamn Wednesday night sort of vibe. The place was up and about as you'd expect for a knockout game, and United sort of, led most of the way, but never really could put the foot on the throat, but it was very, very interesting and very, very fun. It's just great to watch Deli in action. So we were at game one as well. Game three, just a lot of classic Deli. Bubbles Goulding causing all sorts of havoc. JLA looking really good. Clark and Robinson on the Hawks causing all sorts of controversy, and Froling just going hammer and tongs. But it was a really fun game, a really fun crowd. And like, the sheer noise of the place with the hand clappers and all that sort of stuff was really impressive. So great job, NBL, putting out a great product, and then got home and watched the second half of the Jackies versus the Wildcats. And that was a really fun game as well. Tassie just gave me the old go to sleep, down the stretch, and it was amazing. So we've got a Jackies United final series. It's going to be very fun. Hashtag NBL Australia. Other news, though, Kawhi. So, Kawhi, talking about him yesterday, just bouncing mid-game. He's got thoracic spasms. Not great. Does sound like a cool punk band. Hey, who are you going to see tonight, Jim? Yeah, the thoracic spasms. They're fucking awesome. Where are you seeing them? The Tote. It's going to be great. Fast Jimmy Harden. Fat Man Who Barely Clean. He's got a left shoulder strain as well. They're both questionable for tomorrow's game against Chicago. So keep an eye on that for the Clippers, I reckon. Other little bits and bobs of news is that we have Luka Doncic leaving today's game with a bit of a hammy strain. So his streak of, what was it, 7 triple-doubles? Finished up. Just left hamstring soreness. It's one of those ones you're like, there's like 6.5 minutes left in the game. And maybe he just doesn't sort of want to tweak it. And it's like the sort of thing where they were killing the Warriors anyway. So happy days that he hasn't done anything worse to it. But yeah, good stuff there. Right. That's about it from in terms of news. But on today's show, we're also going to do the All-NBA teams at the three-quarter mark. We did the awards, and then it was sort of posed in today's show, well, in today's games, about Jamal Murray in the All-NBA. And I just wanted to sort of break that down and go, right, hang on a second, who would be on my All-NBA teams right now? So we'll do that in Unpopular Opinion of the Day. Let's do some game wraps.
Game wraps.
We also aren't doing any video today because for some reason I can't get it to work in the studio. This is why you need your producers. Homie and Gerald over there. It's like they can't live at my house, though maybe they can. Homie, I need some help. He's like, all right, we got you, Jim. Thanks, buddy. No, we have Toronto. They lose in Detroit in the Dwayne Casey Bowl, 104-113. Pistons just grind out a win in the Dwayne Casey Bowl. I sort of told you yesterday, right? The Raptors are super tanky. They're getting tankier and tankier by the second. And that means they're getting stankier and stankier by the second. They are now 23-43. And trying their absolute uttermost. So that leaves them with the equal seventh worst record right now, right? You've got the Wizards, the Pistons at 11-54, 12-53. Then you got the San Antonio Banderas Spurs, the Hornets, and the Blazers. So those are your bottom five. And then you got the Grizzlies and the Raptors tied for 6-7. Now remember, the Raptors send the Spurs their first round pick if it's above seven. So, yeah. They're going to try their absolute hardest to stay there and stay that way. So they'll be sitting some more dudes today. But yeah, their starting lineup was a bit of a Barry Crocker shocker, I'll tell you. They did have Kelly Olynyk, Bruce Brown, Emmanuel Quickley, Okja Agbaji, and Grady Dick. Yeah, it's pretty brutal, man. Pretty brutal. Good win for Detroit. IQ Quickley was pretty good. Had the 25-5-8. Kelly, the Hoosier, 19-6-8 with a couple of blocks and a couple of steals, but 6 turnovers. Pretty brutal. And Bruce Brown, 17-4-5, a couple of steals as well. Yeah, but Dick, McDaniels, Nwora, they just couldn't really buy too many buckets, and yeah, Pistons ran over the top. And Cade was awesome, Cade Cunningham. Yeah, 19 points. He only played 28 minutes and was sort of pulled in the third quarter. We never saw him again. It was weird. He was good early, and then they just went, that'll do. I don't know if it was precautionary or if he tweaked something, but it was very strange. Ivy with the 14-7, but he took 5-13 shooting. You also had Jalen Duran dominate, 24 points, 23 rebounds, and 5 assists to go with 5 turnovers. He's a weapon, and I love it. All yes, mates. I love it. I love you, Duran. Good game. Good win for the Pistons, as mentioned, 12-53. The Raptors, 23-43. Other games we had. A pretty Brooklyn-Orlando game. Orlando 114-106, 1-2-3 Cancun for Brooklyn. It was 33-16 in the first quarter. They got doubled up, and you're like, yep, this team is horrible. Doubled up out of the gate is just a massive punch in the guts. Made a late run, and Cam Thomas was sort of like just launching bombs, but the Magic will be more concerned about Franz Wagner, hello, and his groin. Sort of cop one there. But anyway, look, the Nets stink. 7-26 for 3, Bridges 5-13 for 17 points. 21 for Cam Thomas, but 9-19 shooting, and 13-3 for Dennis Schroeder, German Rondo. So the only way they were going to win this game is if he went ham against his fellow German muckers in Franz Wagner and Mo Wagner. But Paolo was fantastic, 6-6 from the floor for 21-3-9. Franz Wagner, hello, in 28 minutes, he had 14-5-6. Suggs was back with 14 points and 4-8 from downtown. Wendell had 15-8. It's just like when they've actually got their guards, the Magic look amazing, and that's what happened today. They had Fultz, they had Suggs causing havoc. It was very good. They're now 38-28, the Orlandos. That's right, the Orlandos Magic. Brooklyn stink. They're 26-46. We know that. But Orlando are still in the five spot, so just keep an eye on that. They're a half game behind the Knickerbockers of New York City. Chicago and Indy played an absolute cracker, 132-129. The Bulls win over the Pacers in overtime, back and forth. The Bulls were up early. The Pacers got up 11 in the second quarter. Bulls came flying back. They're up 10, and then the Pacers came flying back to take the lead in the fourth quarter. Back to back and back and back and back and back and back, and they're just going back and forth, back and forth, back. Ah, bang. Overtime, because there's a Siakam block on Kobe White, where he just, like, absolutely pancaked Kobe White. But free throws here and there. DeMar gets a chance to tie it up. Hits the baseline jumper. It was beautiful. And then we get through overtime. DeMar just takes over. He was massive in this game. It looked like Siakam had sort of, you know, had a game-winning block. You love those. But DeMar DeRozan said, not so fast, buddy. And then Halliburton double-pumped on the tying shot at the end and just missed it. Was way short. Couldn't put enough arms behind it. So I think that was the first overtime of the year for the Pacers as well. And it was only the second, well, they've only won two games on the second night of a back-to-back all season as well. So that's why I sort of tipped Chicago yesterday and they came through for me in the end. Pacers 27-7 for Miles Turner. Halliburton 17-14. The shooting was a bit off though, and so was Siakam. He had 17-9-3 with two blocks and two steals. But their record with Siakam, as they've sort of worked him in there, has been a bit bumpy. It's one of those things that's like, yeah, you sort of don't have the old Buddy Hield anymore just to kick around, and yeah, it's not great. 16-4-4 for TJ McConnell. They went 14-45 from three, and couldn't quite get it going. DeMar DeRozan there had an amazing game, though. 46 points for the Bull. 15-24 from the floor. 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. 23-7-7 for Caruso, putting on Caruso's. He was unreal. Not getting, what was it, 5 or 6 from 3? Bloody good. Vooch had 12-12. Ayo! Dosunmu had 20 as well. He was massive after Kobe White left. And Kobe himself had 15 points on 17 shots. Chicago now 32-34. Indiana 37-30. All right. So that leaves Chicago in 9, hanging pretty basically by themselves. And Indy, with that loss, dropped back down to 7 behind the Sixers at 37-30. Tough one. Denver, Miami, we had an NBA Finals replay in Miami, 88. They scored 88 points in tribute to our man Patty Thrills, Patty Mills. Unfortunately, Denver scored 100 in a testament to beating them. Too good and too big. Once more, the Denver Nuggets. Nothing has changed since the finals, seemingly. Defensively, they're just everywhere. And they match up so well with Miami to be able to throw like the likes of Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. Sort of across, along with Joker, right? Like across the Bam Butts combo. And then in the backcourt, you've got, KCP and Jamal just to go, oh, yeah, that's cool. Terry Rozier, Duncan Robinson, if you want to have a crack, buddy, you can try. And unfortunately, you can try, but they failed. They went 5 of 21 from 3, did the Heaters. It was brutal. 17-13-3 for Bam. He was pretty efficient. He hit a 3 at one point. You're like, what the fuck is going on? 7-15 from the floor. Butts shot 6 of 16 for 15 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 turnover. He was a minus 12. He just could never get going. Same with Terry Rozier, who went 0 of 3 from 3 at 14-4-4 on 6 of 13 shooting. And I'd like to have a beer with Duncan. Duncan Robinson couldn't hit a shot. 11-6-3, went 1 of 6 from the floor. Just brutal. Just brutal. You know, they played him to a standstill on the boards, but yeah, not being able to hit threes, it's a big difference, isn't it, for Miami? For Denver, you had 25-7 for Michael Porter Jr. He hit 5. He equaled the amount of made threes the Heat had by himself. So 5-9 from downtown for him, for 25-7. 16-8-4 for Gordon. 12-14-6 for Jokic. Didn't have to do too much. They had a good play, like plan for him, but the rest of the dudes on the Nuggets are just too good. 5-14 for Murray for 14 points, but he had 5 assists. And KCP had, same as Reggie Jackson, actually. They both had 9 points on 9 shots, but just sort of gave the Nuggets a release valve every time they needed it. So, good win for the Nugs. They're 46-20 and back on top of the West. Watch out. The Heat, 35-30. And just sort of a little bit squirrely now. They're a game back of the Pacers in the 8 spot. Tough. Charlotte, they beat Memphis. Sure. 110-98. Grizzlies on a back-to-back. When I say the Grizzlies, I mean the Memphis Hustle. G.G. Jackson had 26-4. He went 6-12 from three. Cool. 17 for the Duckman, Luke Kennard. Quack, quack. Sure. Like, who cares about this game, right? Like, 17-49, the Hornets. The Grizzlies, 23-44. It was a nice win for the Hornets, and that's why I picked them. I thought they might just be out there trying a little bit harder than a Grizzlies team on a back-to-back without that much talent. So, Micic had 25 points. He went 8 assists. He went 5 or 6 from deep. And Miles Bridges, 27. Miller had 4 steals and 10 points on 4 or 12 shooting. Charlotte, 16-49 now. 17-49, sorry. The Grizzlies, 23-44. All right, how about Cleveland?
Cleveland!
That's right. Big win over the New Orleans Pelicans. They were Pelicans today. Mitchell came back. He was shredded. Like, he didn't have a great shooting game, to Donnie Mitchell. But, God, just the sheer threat of him made them so much more dangerous. They went at 116-95. The Pelicans sort of threatened there for a little bit in the third quarter. The Cavs just put the foot back down and went, oh, see ya, man. Zion was massive, figuratively and literally. 33-9. I love the rebound numbers banging back up for Zion. It's like we've shamed him into doing it. It's like, can you get more than one a game, bro? And he's like, oh, yeah. How about more than one a quarter? He's like, oh, okay. And he's got 9 today, so that's very nice. 13-21 shooting. Spindles Ingram at 25-5. No one else stepped up, though. CJ had a rough shooting night, 3-10. They went 4 of 22 from 3 as a team. 4 of 22. Absolutely brutal. The Cavs had nearly as many makes as the Pelicans had attempts. They went 20 of 45. Garland had 27-11 assists. He was awesome. Hit 6 threes. Donnie Mitchell had 14-4-5. Go the fro. Jared Allen had 17-10. The minibus, though. This is where, like, the Cavs get really dangerous. When you've got Mitchell and Garland both firing, it's the likes of George Niang and Sam Merrill. If they can sort of just get it going a little bit, you're in big trouble. That's what happened today. 16-6 for Niang. He hit 4 of 8 from 3. And Merrill had 15 points and 9 assists to go with 5 of 10 shooting from downtown. Absolutely crazy. 14-6 as well for Damian Jones out of nowhere. It was crazy. The Cavs looked really, really good on the road. And this is like the game where you're like, ah, I hope this is just one of those weird blip games for the Pelicans because, god damn it, they'd been so good. And then they just fell apart in this one. So, Cleveland, that's right.
Cleveland!
42-24. Pelicans, 39-26. Golden State got smasherated by Dallas, 109-99. Didn't even feel like that close for a lot of it. They just got put to the sword in the second quarter. And then the Mavs sort of just kept them at arm's length basically the rest of the way, right? There was like a moment in the third quarter when they basically tied it up, but the Mavs sort of went, yeah, that's kind of cool. And Luka just sort of got going, hit a couple of big, like, I think it was like an N1 and then a 3. And they were back up and rolling and sort of didn't quite look back. There was a bit of a moment there where they didn't score for a big chunk of the start of the fourth quarter. The Warriors and, yeah, the Mavs just sort of took it away from there and got up into the double digits and won pretty handily. But no Steph Curry, and yeah, the Warriors just looked not great, I'll tell you, because Clay and Chris Paul were horrible and old. That's what they looked like without Steph. They're just like, hang on a second, we're old and shit. And Steph Curry's like, yeah, shall I make you, bro? The Warriors didn't have enough firepower to keep up with the Dallas team that had, like, you know, a firing Kyrie Irving. Luka still had 21-9 before he left for the hammy, but Kyrie had 23-10. He was really bloody good. For the Warriors, though, 27 points for Cumbucket, Johnny Kuminga. Wiggins had 17, but Clay shot 3 of 13. CP3 shot 4 of 12, and so did Podemski. So, yeah, it's a bit rough on there for the Warriors, wasn't it? Dan Gafford is absolutely amazing. 5 of 5 from the floor. He had another 10 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 blocks. Gafford is a weapon. All he's doing is hitting every shot he takes. He needs 2 more field goals straight to tie Wilt Chamberlain for the most consecutive field goals made ever. He's made 33 straight over a 5-game span. So I think if he gets 3 more, he breaks the record. If he gets 2 more, he's tied it. That is absolutely awesome. I'm here for the Dan Gafford experience. Dan Gafford, the Dominator. Derek Lively had 12-8 as well. He went 6-8 from the floor. Greeny and Exum, the Aussies, were awesome too. And this win came about with the Mavs, obviously riding Lively and Gafford on the inside. They only went 6-27 from 3, and they still got a win, which is very, very heartening for Dallas fans, I reckon. The Mavs now 38-28. which is good. The Warriors are 34 and 31. It does sort of, like, it was lucky, I guess, for the Warriors that the Lakers lost as well today. Hashtag spoiler alert, because it kept them, had them both on 31 losses. The Lakers are ahead by 2 wins in the 9 spot. And this is like the old double win, really, for the Mavs, because with the Lakers losing as well, the Mavs stay fat in the 8 spot in the Western Conference, just trailing the Kings and the Suns by a half game and 1.5 back of the Pels in the 5. So, good win and good timing by Dallas to go on a 4-game win streak, I'll tell you that much. Speaking of Lakers and Sacramento, yeah, the Lakers, well...
The Lakers stink!
They do stink against the Kings. It's very weird. They keep losing. It's a season sweep for the Kings. It's like the second time they've ever done that. 121-07, and just sort of, yeah, third quarter, got up, stayed up. AD had 22-10-3. Just a little bit too little too late. He just keeps getting owned by the Souvlaki King. It's like me after a few tins. 20 for Rui Hachimura. LeBron had 18, 13, and 9, but shot 6 of 16 and 2 of 8 from downtown. Austin Reeves was fantastic. It's 7 of 12 threes for 28 points. But D'Lo, just like, he came out of his shell about how much Darvin Ham hated him last season, which I'll talk a little bit about in Old Mate No Mates, but he just had an absolute Barry Crocker shocker. 6 points, 6 assists, shot 2 of 9. And yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. The bench didn't do much either. So one of those games where you're like, wow, Spencer Dinwiddie. How good were the Spencer Dinwiddie stakes? He played 20 minutes and went 0 of 2 from the floor for 0 points. 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 1 steal. Brutal, I'll tell you. Anyway, the Kings, Sabonis was fantastic again. 17, 19, and 10 for him. Another triple-double, leads the league. Harrison Barnes, Black Falcon, 23-2-2, 7 of 11 from downtown. And Keegan Murray went 5 of 10 from 3 as well, 9, 10, and 11. The Kings look absolutely unbeatable when their wings actually show up. You're like, God damn it, this is what a normal basketball team does. The Kings are like, oh, well, we've got Fox and Sabonis usually. Sabonis obviously fantastic, but Fox had 21, 4, and 7 as well. Malik Monk couldn't buy a bucket in this one against one of his old teams, but still ends up with 8 and 6, shot 3 of 10. They shot over 52% as a team and 19 of 41 from downtown. The Kings, that is a big win. Fires the laser! They were probably just watching tapes of Delhi from last night, getting themselves fired up for their old mate. Anyway, Kings now 38 and 27, as mentioned, right there in the thick of the playoff race. And the Lakers, as mentioned as well, 36 and 31 in the 9 spot. So the Kings sort of sitting there. We've talked time and time again about them probably being the most vulnerable one of that sort of mid-group of the Pelicans, Kings, Suns, and Mavs. Meanwhile, they're still in 6. So good job. And then final game of the day, we had Atlanta-Portland. This game does not matter, but Atlanta lost it, which is hilarious. They're 29 and 36 now. Bogdanovich went 3 of 15. Blocked DeAndre. Hana went 4 of 12. DeJounte Murray tried to do it all by himself. He tried to Nelson Muntz this one. 40 points, 3 assists, 4 rebounds, 15 of 29 from the floor. 15 of 29. He went 6 of 13 from 3. While Wes Matthews went 1 of 7. Bogdan 3 of 15 and 4 of 12 for Hana. Yeah, it wasn't. They're not helping him out much. 13 of 14 for Clint Capella. Well, for the Blazers, he had 33 and 19 for Domin Ayton. He absolutely kicked their ass. And Anthony Penny-Simons hit 5 threes. He had 36, 7, and 8. It was unreal. The Grim Reether, that's right, the Rim Reether, a.k.a. the Great Barrier Reef, Duop. 8 minutes, 1 point. 8 points for Matty T in 32 minutes, though. Pretty bloody good. Big win for the Blazers out of nowhere. They're now 19 and 46. Hawks, 29 and 36, but still fat and 10 because the Nets stink. Right. How about the NBA Stereo Proof Performance of the Night?
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
DeRozan it. Hits the game tire, sends it to overtime with 0.3 of a second left. A beautiful shot. But more importantly, also carried him through overtime. He hit 15 of 24 from the floor. 15 of 17 at the line, 46 total points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals and a block. You know I love talking about the Bulls, and wow, was he good today. He just had his schlong out. He's like, check the size of this one out. Look at my hog. And everybody on the pace is like, yeah, that's pretty good. Jeez, oh, jeez, there, DeMar, can you put it away, please? But he was massive, absolutely just carrying himself like MJ. Drops 46 on the Pacers' heads. like he's MJ going at Reggie or something, and absolutely carried his team to the win. Just jump on my back, boys. We're going to get this win in overtime. And that's what they did. Great one by DeMar. Awesome game. He was fantastic. Who was Spud of the night, though?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the night.
Spud of the night. I'll tell you what, we had a few Spuds today. It's getting to Spud, like prime Spud hours the last month of the season, I'll tell you. Because, I mean, DeJounte Murray also had the 40-point game. That was fantastic. But in that same game, you had, like, just Spuds up and down the court for the Hawks, as I mentioned, right? The just shocking gear that you saw from Bogdan Bogdanovic. 3 of 15 is brutal. 4 of 12 for Hannah. Grady Dick went 4 of 13, but the best ones were Davis Bertans. Hello, look at from the Amish bit, huh? 1 of 10 from the floor for Davis Bertans. Earn that money, Davis. 0 of 5 for Ben Shepherd from the Pacers. You had Skuka, 1 of 8 as well. 2 of 13 for Jake LaRavia. Jamias Ramsey for the Raptors went 1 of 7. So did Wes Matthews. But yeah, 3 of 13 for Clay was pretty brutal. But I would like to thank Simon Nefantaggio because he went and shot. Woo!
Chill.
Juice. Yeah, he went and shot 311. Thanks, mate. Who's old mate, no mates?
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Well, Anthony Davis, when he plays the Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis, because he's now 0-10. Jesus. Anthony Davis, just get some mates, mate. What are you doing, mate? Oh, I've got no mates, man. Yeah, no fooling. When the Souvlaki King's just got your number that bad, it's crazy. But obviously, D'Lo. So D'Angelo Russell was basically in the news going, yeah, look, Darvin Ham did not have my back. I'll tell you that much. When, like, all the news about me being traded and stuff, and then talking about Dennis Schroeder, it's like, yeah, I'm here and he's not. It sucked in the locker room and stuff. You're like, all right, cool. So it just sounds like he... had no mates. Darvin Ham, like Dennis Schroeder and Darvin Ham were tight, and D'Lo just couldn't become mates with him. So it was interesting. Schroeder's relationship with Darvin is the reason I couldn't have a relationship with Darvin, D'Lo said. When I was struggling, I would have been able to come to the coach and say, bro, this is what we should do. Like, I can help you. Instead, there was no dialogue. I just accepted it. We got swept, and I'm here, and he's not, and I like our chances. So he's not only throwing Schroeder under the bus, he's also like, yep, fucking coach hates me. Fucking geez. I don't know, D'Lo. A lot of that might just be to do with the fact that you sort of just seem like a giant pain in the ass. Just saying. Pantsing of the night. I enjoyed Chris Paul getting a tech and then teching up the ref, which is very fun. It's a bit of a pantsing. But Pascal Siakam, Kobe White, that's a pantsing because Siakam just deleted A, the shot, and then poor bloody... actual Kobe, so not very good. Oh, and there was an old mate, Nomads, as well, that I forgot to mention. Grant Williams being thrown on the bus by, what's his name, Mike Gorman, up there for Boston. The very old, awesome play-by-play guy is like, yeah, he's annoying and a bad locker room dude, and he just sort of stunk and wore out his welcome, and everyone just wanted him gone. He's like, Jesus, Mike, he's already dead. Who was better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Jalen Durant, he had the 24, 23, and 5 over Toronto today. He's now got 3 games of 20-plus points and 20-plus rebounds. That's the most in the NBA for the young fella. But it's also like the fifth most ever, I think, for a player who's under 21. You're on the list with like Shaq and stuff. Like, that is just awesome. So I'm loving the Jalen Duren experience, as I mentioned earlier. I'll tell you that much. Right, what about the magic tweet of the day? Becoming the man I am today, a husband, father, basketball player, entrepreneur, and leader, has been shaped by the invaluable lessons from my late father, Irvin Johnson Sr., who passed away a year ago. I carry and uphold his values of discipline, focus, attention to detail, drive, and passion with me every day. Dad, I love you deeply, and I know we'll see each other again. Love heart emoji. Ah, thanks, Magic. That's just bloody lovely, that one. All right, let's do some yeah-nahs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey, guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And 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 you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some yanars. Brought to you by the NBA Australia Shop. Get your merch.
Get your merch, get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch, get your merch. Get your merch, get your merch.
Yeah, do it. NBAAustralia.com/shop or just click through on the socials. Get a hoodie, get a t-shirt, get a stubby holder, get a coffee mug. Only a couple of those left. Do it. Right. Does the Suvas triple-double run matter? Yeah, nah. Kind of, yeah. I mean, he keeps, like, owning the likes of AD and Giannis, but, and he's, what, 10-0 now against Anthony Davis, which is just sick. But Sabonis in the triple-double run, it sort of just shows that, yeah, you might be a bit limited on defense, but you can still build a pretty amazing elite offense around the dude. And he just sort of crushes it. 17, 19, and 10 today. And he just sort of keeps doing it. He has, was it 23rd, I think, for the season, which leads the league. And if they didn't have that, it's like, oh, they traded Halliburton for Sabonis. That's such a mistake, man. Oh, geez, yeah. Well, I mean, would they be better off with Halliburton next to Fox and no Sabonis? I mean, ideally, you'd still have Halliburton with Suva and you would have traded Fox. But at the same time, when Fox is like knocking in game-winning shit all the time and playing at the level that he was earlier this season, I don't know. I just think that it's really, really cool. 23 triple-doubles, 10-0 against Anthony Davis. And the Kings are just like a dangerous sort of smoky. If they still had Halliburton in, like, in place of Fox, you feel like you'd feel much more, I don't know, convinced of them. But goddamn. He's got a lot of triple-doubles now, especially the triple-doubles with 20 rebounds. It's like he, Wilt, Bill Russell, Elgin Baylor, the Big O, Joker, Kareem, and Maurice Stokes on that list. So pretty bloody good. Number two, is it weird the Kings always beat the Lakers now? Yeah, nah, yeah. But also, it's even weirder that the Souvlaki King is 10-0 against Anthony Davis. When you, you know, the old compare the pair, you look at it and go, well, Anthony Davis is a basketball-playing pterodactyl. The Souvlaki King is just an absolute fucking, you know, son-of-a-legend grinder, get the most out of his abilities kind of dude. AD tends to bottle it in big moments, sometimes just has these moments where you're like, what, do you remember how you actually should play basketball? He's like, nah, not really. So it's not, it's not weird. The Kings just relish beating the Lakers. It's like 25 years of fucking fraught history as well, going back to the 2002 Western Conference Finals. So I kind of love it. Keep firing up. I would love to see these two in the play-in. That'd be fucking great. Anyway. Could we see a Heat-Nuggets Finals again? Yeah, nah. I feel like the limitations of the Heat are just much more sort of writ large this year. We sort of, you know, we did this last year, but it feels like even with like Patty Mills and Kevin Love and stuff, playing pretty, you know, when Kevin Love was actually out there, he had had, you know, pretty half decent season. Jaime Hawkins has been really good. Caleb Martin has not turned into MJ like he did against the Celtics last year. They still feel like a dangerous sort of Eastern smoky. I just don't know if they can make the finals, though. And if they did, you sort of saw it today. They'd probably just get fucking steamrolled by Denver again. And then finally, speaking of Denver, is Jamal Murray an All-NBA player? Yeah, nah. So JJ Redick was like, oh, hey, he should be A, an All-Star, and B, All-NBA, and if you don't agree, shut up! And you're like, I don't know, JJ. I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, today alone, he shot 5 of 14, and he had 14 points. Like, he's had a very good year. He's still averaging, like, 21, 4, and 6. And, yeah, he has these moments where he sort of takes over games. He's had a nice little run. He had 26 and 12 the other day. He had the 37 and 7 against the Jazz. But, I mean, that's come against Toronto and Utah those last two games. He had 19 points on 7 of 18 in that win against Boston. 28 and a loss to Phoenix, 24 and 11 against the Lakers. He's pepping in a couple of 6-point, 3-point games here and there, 13 on 21 shots back at the start of February. So, I don't know. I think there's a couple of guards still ahead of him. He's also, quite literally by definition, not an All-NBA player because he's missed too many games combined with having played 3 games, I think, with less than 20 minutes. So he's kind of hit the threshold of not being able to hit 65 total games for the season. So, I don't know, kind of a moot point there, JJ. But that leads us to the unpopular opinion of the day, the All-NBA teams. Oh, yes.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. Right, you're going to play 65 games. So the three-quarter season mark, All-NBA teams, your first team, SGA, Luka, Giannis, Tatum, and Jokic. The crazy part is that's actually a pretty decent, like, position-by-position one, and the All-NBA teams this year will be positionless. That's kind of cool, I guess. My second team, I'd have the Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, Kevin Durant. Kawhi. Then I'd probably throw Sabonis and AD on there. My third team, I'd have Maxi, Steph, Booker, Brunson, and LeBron. Just because I feel like Gobert... Oh, yeah, we might have to bung Gobert in there. Maybe just in place of perhaps Booker. I mean, Booker's had a right. I feel like Booker's going to miss the threshold of games play, though. Anyway, so pretty crazy times. There's like, so the dudes who are going to miss because of the games, obviously Joel Embiid, Kyrie, Jimmy Butler, Donnie Mitchell, Halliburton, likely. Devin Booker, pretty close to missing it. And obviously Karl Anthony Towns is likely to miss too. So some pretty big names out there. Ja Morant obviously missed the entire season. So, but there is a bloke who keeps playing, and that leads us to Outback Takehouse for today. It's Thursday at Outback. You know what that means? Oh, yeah, 2-for-1 blooming onions. That's right. No prick in Australia knows what the fuck these things are. What are you talking about? Some sort of deep fried onion made to look like a flower? I've never bloody heard of that in my entire fucking life. All we do in Australia with a fucking onion is chop her up, chuck her on the barbie, cook it until it's as black as a dead dog's guts, and bang, chuck it on your saucy. Goes great, especially with a flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take is the one bloke who actually has stayed healthy this year, touch bloody wood, is Zion Williamson. And if the big rig stays healthy all the way through the end of this season, he will be a top 3 MVP player next year. Only at Outback. This is the year that he needed to have, Zion, is kind of my point, right? Like, he has been really, really good. And one of my things about Zion has been always like, yeah, there were minutes where he was putting up big numbers, but they were like his diet, right? They were empty calories. But at the moment, he's averaging a 22-5-5. He's upping his rebounding numbers to, in the last 10, he's gotten over 6.3 a game in the last 10 games, 7 assists per game, and he's kind of crushing it. So let's bloody go, Zion. I'm loving it. I love the big rig. The NBA is just way more fun when he's actually out there and playing. And he's obviously on track to play the most games of his career. He plays 9 more, and he's already topped what he did in 2021. So, very cool. Let's go, Zion. Love him. His scoring's actually down a little bit when he's played in the other ones. He's like a 22-5-5, right? And he had the sort of 27-7 back in 2020-21. But he's playing more effectively, if that makes sense. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. Let's go. Bloody Zion. All right, Australian Player Watch, right after this.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Oh, let's do it. Australian Player Watch. Paddy Thrills, Paddy Mills against Denver today in that NBA Finals replay. Does feel like Paddy could just drive him back to the finals. That's just all he does. 14 minutes. He only had 2 points. He went 1 of 6 from the floor, but looked absolutely amazing in that Heat Culture 88 jersey, I'll tell you. 1 of 6 shooting, 0 of 3 from downtown. No one in the Heat could hit a shot today. 3 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and 1 turnover, though. Josh Greeny Green against the Warriors. He had 24 minutes. He had 11 points. Shot 5 of 6 from the floor. 1 of 2 from 3 and 5 rebounds with the turnover. And Dante Sexum up Exum. He was really good as well. 9 points, 3-4 shooting, 1-1 from three. 2 rebounds and 6 assists in the big win over the Warriors. Love it. I just absolutely love it. Still no word on Dyson Daniels, which is a shame because the Pelicans losing today. You're like, yeah, geez, it'd be nice to have an actual point guard back out there that isn't Jose Alvarado. I'll tell you. But we also had Aussie Matty T, as mentioned, and the Grim Reaper. Doo-up against the Atlanta Hawks. They got a big win. Aussie Matty T played 32 minutes. He shot 3-6 from the floor, 2-4 from downtown. So he had 8 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks with a turnover. Jesus, Matty T. Just filling up the stat sheet. 8 minutes, 0-3 shooting, 0-1 from downtown for a doo-up. He did go 1-2 at the free throw line, so he ends up with 1 point. Zeros across the board for everything else, but a turnover and a foul. So a bit of a rough one for the Grim Reaper, but that's okay. You get that on the big jobs. What about... I think we do a bit of Andrew Gay's Great Mamba Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. It's the
first Andrew Gay's Great Mamba. Outstanding achievement
in the field of excellence. All right, let's do it. Dan Gafford, as I've already mentioned, right, needs 2 more field goals straight. Can't miss a shot. To tie Wilt Chamberlain for the most ever consecutively, and then he needs to obviously make 3 to break the record, which is very, very cool. So Wilt set the record of 35 straight, and Dan Gafford has gone 7 of 7, 5 of 5, 7 of 7, 9 of 9, and 5 of 5. Anytime you get listed in some sort of stat alongside Wilt Chamberlain, you better believe that is an Andrew Gay's Great Mamba Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. Yes, mate. I'll tell you what's also excellent. Watching Gazy just work the crowd after a basketball game. He was obviously on the commentary team last night for the NBL, and then after the game just gets fucking swamped with well wishes and fans and everybody. And the coolest thing about Andrew Gaze remains the simple fact that he is the biggest fucking legend in the world. Because he's always got time for everybody, and yeah, he's just a fucking certified all-time dude. And everyone loves him. For a good reason. All right, let's do a Patty Mills... the Patty Mills Game Day. We'll go to a Twitter check-in. Let's do it. We've actually got some jock ones today, I believe. Oh, no, there's a Patty one. Heat Culture. There you go. He's got all the Heat Culture versions and stuff looking good. That is unreal. I am absolutely here for the Patty Mills Heat experience because it is going on. Rock'em Sock'em Block'em Jock'em Landale as well. He's added to his story. What's he added there? Oh, that's right, his post-game interview where Dylan Brooks, that dickhead, jumped over it. But then there's a bunch of highlights of him just shredding Wembanyama and the Rockets and the Spurs the other day. The 3 that he hit was just beautiful too. So he's also given big ups to the Melbourne United dudes. He's just gone, let's go, lads, at Melbourne United. That's nice. And then patting the doggo. How funny are retrievers? They're bloody funny. Right, let's do some game previews for tomorrow.
Game previews.
Thanks, Inverton Bain.
Not a problem, Jim. How are you going?
Yeah, not great. I've already got the anti-inflammatories. We fired up that for the foot. Hopefully, should be right. It's feeling a lot better than it already did this morning. So, it sort of once those anti-inflammatories sort of just latch onto you with a bit of painkillers on top of that as well. You start feeling a bit better. We have a cracking lineup tomorrow. We have Phoenix versus Boston, which is an absolute all-time game. Replay of what, the 1976 finals, I reckon. Had some cracking ones. Yeah, it was 4-2 Boston, one of the greatest games ever. You have the Celtics 5.5-point favorites at home. It's really hard to go against the Celtics at home where they're just kicking the shit out of everybody. So give me the Celtics. Just the way... Look, but this is a really fun matchup as well, right? Because you've got all the perimeter scoring of the Suns. Booker, Beal, and KD up against... If Jaylen Brown is back and healthy, that's good for the Celtics. Otherwise, it's sort of Tatum, Derek White, Giroux, let alone the extreme Zingemiel and Al Horford. So I still like the Celtics there. Wizards at Houston. The Rockets just sort of keep winning these games pretty handily. I'm going to go 8.5-point favorites, the Rockets... over the Wizards, just because the Wizards are a bit of a mess. They really are. Chicago hosts the LA Clippers, likely with just Paul George, maybe James Harden. He is a bit of a Iron Man, is James Harden. But the Bulls on a back-to-back at home, 6.5-point home underdogs. I think the Clippers win this, but I think the... Oh, actually, if the Bulls don't have Kobe White, then it's probably not great, is it? And we'll still go the home team, plus 6.5. DeMar DeRozan will play. He'll go a hammer and tongs against these old muckers. Let's go the Bulls plus 6.5 at home. Sixers, Bucks, an East powerhouse matchup with only one of them being an actual powerhouse. The thing is, Milwaukee, yep, cool, good. Philly, you've got Tyrese Maxey. You're 8.5-point underdogs on the road. I'm actually going to take the Sixers to cover the 8.5. I think they can have a bit of a bounce-back game from Tobias Harris. Oh, I regret saying that almost automatically. But Maxey versus Dame Lillard, that is a shred fest. So I think the Sixers should be at least able to do kind of what they want on offense to keep up with the Bucks a little bit. Should be a fascinating game, though, to see where the Bucks are at. You have Dallas versus OKC tomorrow as well. The Mavs are 10.5-point underdogs on the road in OKC. And it feels pretty okay to take the Thunder minus 10.5 just because, boy, do they love beating bad teams. And if Dallas do not have a Luka Doncic, which they probably won't, they'll rest that hammy of his. I expect the Thunder to win that one pretty handily. But then you got the Knicks versus the Blazers. The Knicks are 10.5-point favorites on the road in Portland. Portland having just come off a win against Atlanta. This feels very much like the game that the Knicks can just absolutely strangle the bejesus out of that Portland Blazers team and beat them pretty handily. So, 6 awesome games tomorrow. I'll just make sure that's all of them because you never know. When you're looking at the slate, just going to make sure you don't miss any, don't you? Yeah, there's 6 tomorrow. So that'll be fun. 10:30 a.m. start, 1 p.m. for the New York-Portland game. And that's it. We'll be back to wrap that all up for you. Shit, yeah. Should be good. And remember, we have the AFL Today show out now as well on your podcast apps, but also on YouTube. So you can go watch your mate Jim hanging out with the other AFL experts. But mostly just sort of making AFL, like making sure that AFL footy is just fun. Love a bit of Aussie rules, don't we? But also, bloody hell, so much of the media is just so fucking serious about it. So we've sort of given a bit of a fun vibe to footy. And it's a fun season ahead, so jump on board with us at AFL Today Show. You can hear your mate Jim, was it 3 times a week? We'll do a Sunday night show to wrap up everything, and then we'll do a Wednesday and Thursday shows as well. Good stuff, eh? I'll tell ya, it's pretty bloody good. All right, otherwise, NBA Australia will be back tomorrow, so make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Face the IG, and get around the Cricket Today podcast, the Football Today podcast for all your soccer and A-League, EPL, Champions League gear, NFL Australia, myself and Gaz. We might even do an off-season show soon just because there's a lot going on with all the free agency. Check us a rating and review for all those shows on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Subscribe on YouTube. You can see my smiling face doing this one as well. Just not today because I couldn't get it to bloody well work. Anyway, whatever app you use on the Android phone, just make sure you subscribe and check us out. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop. Get your merch. And big thanks always go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Check out House Hats, Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Shadow, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify, whatever. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. Let's close out with a quick deli review, because why not? And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosanna! How is it your old man Deli just swinging by for my latest pop culture view, isn't it? I'll tell you what, been watching a few movies here and there on the old telly shows and all that sort of gear, man. So, yeah, you know, just like, oh, the missus and the squid. We're watching like one of those new Pixars the other day, and I was like, nah, this sucks, eh? I'm bored. So I made sure we turned it off, and I just watched Fast Furious 10 again. God, it's sick. It's like my favourite movie ever. But anyway, like, enough of the talk about that. How good is playing in the NBL and like actually being like kick-ass and awesome at it? I'll tell you what, all credit to the boys. Like, Illawarra were fucking sick in that final, like in that playoff series, and now I've got the actual finals against those blokes, those jokers, those two heads down there in Tassie. Mate, that's going to be sick as. I can't wait. Like, I love playing basketball teams named after ants. It's radical, mate. So, yeah, I know we'll have a like, pretty big contingent down for Maribor and all the famine shit, so it should be really good. Be nice to get out there and hang up another banner in the old John Cain Arena and shit, eh? So, can't bloody wait, mate. But also, I'm looking forward to, like, watching that June 2. Have you seen that June 2 yet? And, like, we watched the Oscars the other night as well. It's like, fucking, what movie are they even talking about? Just fucking, just give it all to Oppenheimer and Barbie, eh? Well, what are you doing? Well, I fucking love Barbenheimer. Well, that was a fucking great combo, man. So, like, what are you doing fucking around giving it to, like, these other weird movies, mate? It's fucking shit. So, anyway, look, the Oscars look still pretty good, pretty funny. Jimmy Kimmel is a bit of a funny bloke, isn't he? So, like, 18 out of 10 for that. And for Oppenheimer, I'll give that 400 out of 10 because it was fucking sick, man. And, like, Barbie's, like, 500 out of 10 because that was funny as shit. But then, like, I don't know, for beating the Hawks, how about 40 million out of 10? Do you give a joke? Yeah, not bad. I'll just add value. That's what I do. All right, later, fuckers. That's it for this week. We'll catch you next time. Deli out.